Poem, The Birth of Captain Coder. Written by Neil L. Rideout. Narrated by Matthew J. Fisher. Dedication. This book is dedicated to Elizabeth Spence, the woman I will love, honor, and respect forever. Maybe someday she will believe also. TFO. Chapter 1. Betrayal and Broken Code. It was a bright and beautiful Friday afternoon. The kind of day that painted the Newfoundland sky in a perfect, cloudless blue. The sun hung lazily in the sky, casting long, warm rays over the bay. I sat at my usual spot, Sculpin Rock, perched on the rugged, weathered stone with my fishing rod in hand. The rhythmic lap of the waves against the shore was the only sound aside from the occasional cry of a gull flying overhead. Sculpin Rock wasn't glamorous, but it was mine. Just a few jagged outcrops breaking through the surf, perfect for catching the ugly, spiny sculpins that lurked in the cold waters below. Despite their unpleasant appearance, they were plentiful, and a good day at the rock meant filling up 5 buckets. Today felt like one of those days. I reeled in yet another fish, its dark body thrashing in protest as it emerged from the water. As I unhooked it, I glanced around the tickle, a narrow, twisting stretch of water between the mainland and an island. To my left, Scott and Dane were walking along the shore. Scott, tall and lanky, always had a smile that seemed out of place, while Dane, shorter, stockier, wore his trademark scowl. They were my closest friends. 2 guys I'd known since we were old enough to throw rocks at each other. "How's the fishing?" Scott asked as they approached, shading his eyes with one hand as he peered at the fish already piled in my buckets. "Looks like a 5-bucket day," I replied with a grin, proud of the haul I'd accumulated. "Not bad, not bad," Scott nodded appreciatively. Dane kicked at a loose stone, watching it tumble into the water with a splash. "You going to the dance tonight?" Dane asked casually, as if it was a given that we'd all be there. I hesitated, glancing down at the fish on the line, feeling the familiar tug of obligation. "Depends. If Janice wants to go, then yeah, we'll be there. You know she loves those dances." The dance, an almost sacred Friday night tradition in our small town, wasn't something I was eager for. But if Janice wanted to go, I couldn't exactly say no. We'd been together for over a year, and dances were her thing. Besides, it was an excuse to get out, even if dancing wasn't my strong suit. "Perfect," Scott said, slapping me on the back. "We'll take your car. Pick us up around 8 o'clock? I nodded in agreement. Living in Newfoundland had its perks, like the fact that it didn't get dark until almost 9:30 in May. There was plenty of time left for fishing. It was still early afternoon. We exchanged a few more words, mostly idle chatter about the weather, the latest gossip in town, and the fishing prospects. They wished me luck with the rest of the sculpins and wandered off, leaving me alone once again with my thoughts and the sea. An hour later, the sun had shifted lower in the sky, casting a golden hue over the waves. The sculpins, now stacked high in my buckets, gleamed wet and dark under the fading light. My hands, stiff from pulling in the line, were coated in the briny smell of salt and fish. It was time to head home. 5 buckets were more than enough for the day, and I was starting to look forward to the evening ahead. When I walked through the door, the smell of fried cod tongues hit me instantly, reminding me that my dad had already started supper. Cod tongues were a delicacy in Newfoundland, and my dad made the best ones. I found him standing at the stove, his weathered hands expertly flipping the golden brown morsels in a hot pan. "Your mail's on the table," he said, barely glancing up from his cooking. "Seems like you're becoming quite the popular guy." I chuckled and scooped up the stack of letters, mostly technical journals and letters from forums where I discussed coding with other enthusiasts. Of course, there were also the dreaded phone bills, which I quickly hid before Dad could get too curious. "Oh, it's just tech stuff," I said casually, not wanting to explain the high cost of my private line and its outrageous long-distance charges. The last thing I needed was for him to ask too many questions.